we turn to our pew Bibles this morning as we open up God's Word and hear it proclaimed this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day that this Jesus rose from the dead. And this is the day the Holy Spirit was poured out. And so we pray that the Spirit may also work through His Word to touch our hearts even on this first day of the week. Scripture reading is Genesis chapter 1, 26, and then to chapter 2, verse 2. And then we turn to Genesis chapter 3. 17 to 19. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, reading all the way to chapter 2, verse 3, and then chapter 3, 17 to 19. I'll read the passage. I'll say this is the word of the Lord, and the congregation responds to that saying, thanks be to God. Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves along the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And by the seventh day, God finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day he rested from all of his work, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And then to chapter 3, 17 to 19. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Dear brothers and sisters gathered in the Lord Jesus Christ, the thing I'd like to talk about today, the thing I'd like to address, is the whole realm of work and labor. Seeing that tomorrow is Labor Day, and seeing that schools will be opening soon, seeing that our teachers will be going back to teaching, and our students back to learning, seeing that our summer holidays are almost over, I thought would be good to see what the Bible has to say about work and labor. Now, to begin, I find it interesting to see how people sometimes look at work. I guess you can say there are two extremes in this world. On the one hand, we have those people who look at work as a very negative thing. Work is something we have to do, but we don't want to. I mean, look what work does. It makes people sweat. It makes people tired. Sometimes it makes people dirty. Work is what takes people away from a lot of other better things we could be doing, a lot of nicer things. The idea is almost the more you can get away from work, the better it will be. The more we can find machines and robots and things to do our work for us, the better, the happier we'll be. And seeking leisure and vacation time, that is the highest good. There's a song I used to listen to way back when that kind of captures this view of labor. It goes something like this. Everybody's working for the weekend. Yes, the weekend is the highest good. Now, like I said, this view is the one extreme. And so there are other people in this world who totally disagree with all of this and see work in a totally different light. They see work more or less as the highest good. Have you ever seen a happy person that's unemployed? They ask. They're hard to find. And so the great good and goal in life is to find work and to do more of it. Retirement is considered a form of death. Unemployment is considered the greatest fear. Work is what ought to identify everything of who we are. It ought to color everything that we do. These are the two extremes that we find then when it comes to work. I guess the first group of people are the lazy bones in the world, and the second group are the workaholics. It's good to see what the Bible has to say about work. Does the Bible address it? For sure it does. Actually, in many places, the wise man talks about it a lot in the book of Ecclesiastes. The Apostle Paul talks about it as well in some of his New Testament letters. I think especially of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, or chapter 4, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, which we read from earlier. But the place I want to look to about work this morning, the place I want to look to is the early chapters of Genesis. It's here that we find the beginnings of everything, and so it's here that we find the beginnings of work and labor as well. Where do we turn to first? We turn to Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at that. Did you know that man's work is spoken of as soon as man is made? That's right. Genesis 1 verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." God makes mankind all so that he might go right away to work. If you turn to verse 28 of chapter 1, we see that this work was for man's blessing. What does the Bible say? God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." And so man's work was a command, but it was also a blessing. God gave them a blessed command to do work. Notice that all of this then is in the creation account. Some people might be a little surprised by this. They think that work is something that came about because of the fall. It's one of the curses of the fall. Well, it's not. Labor is one of the blessings of God's good creation. Man was not made in the very beginning just to relax and to sit around and do nothing all day long. No, he was designed to be a creature of labor. Actually, notice that man's labor is very much connected to his being made in the image of God. Did you notice that? It says verse 7, "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them, and so God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number,'" etc. You and I, we are made in God's image. And that means that you and I, we reflect certain attributes of God. I'm not saying that we are God, no, but we're made somewhat after his pattern. We image certain qualities and characteristics of God. And so now, who is God? God is the creator. He's the one who worked and who made the heavens and the earth. And so since we're made in his image, it's only natural that God says to mankind as well, "Now you go to work too. You expand my creation. You take care of my creation." And so it's interesting that that is what we find Adam and Eve doing right away in Genesis chapter 2. Adam is given the command to name the animals. Notice verse 15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." But I guess all of this raised the question then, if work is part of God's good creation, designed to be for a blessing, why doesn't it always feel like such a blessing to us? Why can it feel like such a burden sometimes? Why? Well, that is because of the fall into sin. Here's where we turn to Genesis chapter 3. Here is where we read about our fall into sin and the Lord's response to it all. What does God do to the creation when he judges Adam for his sin? He curses it. Look at verse 17. Says the Bible, to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. And through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. So it's not here that God first creates labor for mankind. No, it's here that labor is turned into a burdensome thing. What happens to the creation in the fall is that everything gets twisted. Everything gets distorted. Everything good is made into something difficult and hard. Adam will now plow his field to produce an excellent harvest. But what will grow in and among all of that wonderful harvest? Thorns and thistles. By the sweat of his brow now, we will have to work now. Everything good will have that burdensome quality to it. Now, congregation, I want to point out that although the fall has made our world a very difficult place to live in, that does not mean that God's creation order of things is therefore done away with. In no way does the fall kind of make work and labor into something pointless or useless. Oh, no. And so the order of the creation remains. It's intact. God still calls us to be faithful, to rule the world, to take care of it. That call will always remain in the long run for our blessing. It's just that along the way, as we do all of our tasks now, those thorns and thistles will always come along with us. But we live in hope. As Christians, we live thankful lives. Why? Because of the Lord's salvation in Jesus Christ. God has sent his Son to redeem the world, to restore it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And so we have hope not only for tomorrow when Christ returns to make everything perfectly new again, but also for today in Christ, by grace through faith, in Christ. Through faith in him, we receive the grace and the encouragement we need so that in spite of our fallen world, we may do our tasks with thankfulness and with joy. And so, brothers and sisters, it's in that light now that I want to say a few things. I want to say three things, then, about how Christians should look at work and labor today. Three things I want to say. Number one, how should Christians see work overall? We must see it as a good thing. I mean, that's what we have been created to do, right? Matter of fact, work is so good that God even made two commandments to protect it and to encourage it. I think of the fourth commandment. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. God calls us to work in that commandment. And on the seventh day we rest and we worship all so that we might be spiritually equipped and encouraged so that we can go back to work again refreshed. That's the fourth commandment. I also think of the eighth commandment. Which commandment is that? It's the one that reads, you shall not steal. The assumption underneath that commandment is that we have to work to get the things that we need for life. Never must we take the shortcut and take from others what we need. No, God designed us to work to get what we need. Paul echoes the same point in Ephesians 4, verse 28, when he says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands that he may have something to share with those in need. Congregation, if work is so good, never must we as Christians treat it as something worldly, as something unspiritual. That's what some people do. Some people, they divide life into this spiritual part and this secular part. And so Bible reading and prayer and church, that's the spiritual part. And then work, well, that's the secular part. That's from the world. That's all worldliness. And nothing can be farther from the truth. Work is very spiritual. God wants us to read and to pray and to go to church so that it will influence, so that it will touch everything else. Matter of fact, how do you think God actually takes care of this world? It's through our labors. When we are busy building the house and making a road and working in government and teaching our children, God is working his providence. God is taking care of his creation all through you and through me. Conclusion, work is for our good. It's our blessing. Says the wise man in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 22, so I saw that there is nothing better for a man than to enjoy his work, because that is his lot. I consider a second point, how Christians should see work and labor today. I said that Christians, first of all, should see work as a good thing. Secondly, I want to say that although work is a good thing, it's not everything. Work is good. It's good, but it's not everything. You understand my point that there's more to life than work. If all we do is work, work, and work, and work, then we are in danger of turning our work into an idol, into something that serves, that's something that we serve, something that dominates us, or something that we worship. We must never work to the point that it dominates our lives so much that we overlook some of the other responsibilities that God has given us. We have other important responsibilities too, you know. We have responsibilities to our families. We have responsibilities to our spouses, also to the church, to the school community, to our society, also to ourselves. We should never say all the time, "Oh, but honey, I have work to do today. I have no time." I mean, obviously, we have to say that sometimes, but if we say it all the time, then something is wrong. Work is not everything. Note in that regard that we also need to rest. That's why I also read those few little verses from Genesis chapter 2 about God resting on the Sabbath day and making it holy. While it's part of the creation order that we work so that it's good, we also need to rest. That's part of the creation order too. We need to rest. Ignoring that Sabbath day, for example, and those other opportunities where we should just relax, we burn ourselves out. You see the point? There's more to life than work. Work is a good thing, but it's not everything. Okay, so we looked at work and said it's a good thing. We said that work is not everything. Then a third point, we need to remember the primary purpose behind our call to work. Congregation, why does God call us to work? Why did God make work in the very first place? Why? So that we might serve him in his kingdom. We need to stress this point. We seldom hear this point in the world today. Some people, they just see work as a means to get money. That's the bottom line. The only reason I work is so I can make money. Some people see that as the determining factor for what job they will actually find, what job they'll take. The job that promises the most money is the job that they will take. Now, I'm not saying that money is not important, but to see money as the highest priority in a job is to see things in a totally wrong light. Why did God produce work? What's its purpose? Why are we called to work? It's first of all to be in service of God in his kingdom. God makes the world, and he leaves it to mankind by his grace to be fruitful, to rule over it, to subdue it, to expand it, to develop it. And the purpose of all of this is so that mankind might be blessed to serve God in his kingdom. So note who we are then. We are stewards. We are caretakers of God's creation. We work to serve, to care for God's world, to be of service to one another, all for God's glory in his kingdom. Three points there then to see work in a proper light today. Number one, work is a very good thing. Number two, work is not everything. And number three, work is first of all so that we might be of service in his kingdom, so that we can show love to our God, show love to our neighbor, which leads me to our conclusion this morning. You know, I look at our Genesis passage and I see that it is God's intention in creation that the world expand, that the world develop, and that the world grow. Call this the cultural mandate. The world is designed to expand. Notice what comes with that. With expansion and development and subduing the earth comes all kinds of new opportunities of service, employment, and activity in the kingdom. That has implications for us here today. And so a word then to our young people. Young people, and boys and girls for that matter, we must keep our eyes open for that job, for that opportunity that will be just right for you. Because God has opened up so many things for us to be involved in, it is our responsibility to find a job or the responsibility where we can use, where we can be best of service in God's kingdom. We must not look for a job that gives us the most amount of money. We shouldn't be content just with the job that falls most easily in our lap. No, we must seek the job that uses our talents and our gifts for service in the kingdom. So never should we look for just a job. No, we must see the work that we do as a calling. We're called. We're called to serve. And not all callings are the same. There are all kinds of different callings, but whatever calling we do, we must see it as our service to the Lord. You know, I just addressed maybe the younger folk in our congregation, but maybe I should address maybe the older generation as well. Some people, they see work as something that basically ends with retirement. People retire, and they all of a sudden think that they don't have to do anything anymore. Is that you? And is that biblical? Aren't retired people also called to work? You know, some elderly people say, you know, I did a lot of work in my life, and now it's the turn of the younger folk. Well, that's not a biblical concept. It's not anywhere in the Bible. If we have opportunities, if we have health to be of service in the kingdom, to be of help, we must seek them, and we need to do them. God needs all people involved in his church. God needs all people involved in his kingdom. Children, young people, and also older people. We need seniors. We need your experience and your wisdom too. May I encourage you to seek opportunities where you can volunteer and be of service. And then another little thing. You know, God has given his people all kinds of opportunities where we can serve and where we can work. There are opportunities for older people and younger people. And there's that one calling that I want to point out as well. It's the calling to ministry, meaning my job. You know, being a minister or an ordained missionary, that's obviously not for everybody, but it is for some people. And maybe it's for you. Have you ever thought about that? Ordained ministry. It's challenging, to be sure, but it's very exciting as well. It can be very richly rewarding. And I would be glad to talk to anyone who's thinking about ordained pastoral ministry or being a missionary or whatever. And then one last final comment. You know, work is good, and that is what God has called us to do. But you know, our work is totally meaningless. Our work is meaningless. Vanity of vanity, says the wise man. Our work is total vanity unless we do the most important work that calls us to do. And you know what work that is? It is to believe. I think of Jesus' words from John chapter 6, verse 28. The work of God is this, says Jesus, to believe in the one he has sent. Yes, it's through repentance and faith, coming to Christ and dedicating our lives to him, that everything we do becomes meaningful, purposeful, and full of joy. May we believe, may we work for his Son, even today. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Father, that you made us working creatures, that you have designed us from the very beginning to do this. So we pray, Father, that in all of our work and all of our callings, we may see this as something that we do for the service of your kingdom. Father, I pray for our youth as they think about all the different job opportunities that might come their way. And we pray, Father, that you will help them see their talents. May they not have anxiety about these matters, but may they see it as a challenge and as a joy to find that opportunity where they can be best of service in your kingdom. And Father, we know that we live in a broken world where our work and toil is often filled with pain and discomfort, with thorns and thistles. And we pray, Father, that you will make all things new. We thank you that Jesus Christ has come and that in principle, our work is already made new. So may we go forward in joy. So Father, hear our prayers. We pray that we may see that work is a good thing, but yet not everything, and that we may serve you in your kingdom. Hear our prayer and bless it to that end, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Fill thou my life, O Lord my God, in every part with praise. Hymn number 547. Let's stand again.